The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP. If you listen closely, you may notice that Mishki takes great license with some of the details surrounding the news of the day. Listen at your own amusement. Thank you.
Of the golden age of American radio, it's the Mishki Broadcast, radio's renegade outpost, transmitting live from the talk station, AM 1500, KSTP.
Which one? The one I'm on now?
Yep.
Oh, I must be hang up. Ow! Hang on, let me pick up the master. Let's get a hell of it. Is this any better? What's going on? What's that? Is this any better? Is this any better? Is this any better? Hello? Is that too high? Okay, hi. Boy, who's been messing around with my dials and switches and knobs? Who's been putting different prongs into different things and changing wires on me out here? You know, I don't know how I'll ever understand radio when I can't even understand how a simple lighter works. I filled this thing with lighter fluid before coming out here. I got a spark and it won't go. Wow, my gillicuddy. What's the matter with this thing? If I can't get this lit, I'm not doing a show. I'm packing up and I'm quitting. I'm quitting radio. I'm going to go back to roofing. What the hell? Hang on a second, people. I filled this before I left. You know, they don't make Zippos like they used to. It's a sultry, steamy, hot, sticky night out here at Midway. Mishki in the shack, the shanty by the track. The what the flaming hoodie from the way out back. Get going. Look at this piece of junk. I just paid for this thing. I paid good money for this. Come on. What? You got spark? You got fluid? You should have a light. Come on, baby. Don't make me take you back and get my 12 bucks back. Come on. Oh, you old dog. You old dog. Oh, I'm taking you back. Forget it. Skip it. Skip it. Who needs to smoke anyway? I understand from Mr. Humphrey it's bad for you. Good for the state, though. Damn good for the state. They just started selling these half-pint deals of Cuervo out here. Easy, Mishki. You got to be on for 2 hours. All right. Welcome to your nightly news offering. All the news fit to be tied. We're not off the muddy ditches. As I said, we're here buried inside the right center field wall. Shadow Man back off the muddy ditches, panicking because I hadn't contacted him due to some trouble here with the switches, the knobs, the dials, the prongs, and the, what, a gonculator. The key component out here is a gonculator. Where are my sunglasses? Hey, the sun's just blasting in here. Oh, I'm wearing them. I'm wearing them. I'm wearing the damn things. Wow, it really is bright. Okay. All right. Boy, I'm hungry. I can't eat. I was going to get a meal in before the show. All right. Let's take a look at the news of the day as it falls effortlessly over the white picket fence, landing at our doorstep here in our little treehouse in this green cathedral, where on this glorious July evening, the temperature hovering around 89 degrees, we are once again staring out at America's pastime. Russia reaches pact for billions in loans. This is the news out of Russia. The government there has reached an agreement with the International Monetary Fund on $11 billion in new loans to help stabilize its financial markets. The sides have achieved agreement on all major questions of principal importance, the government said in a statement aimed at reassuring investors. Problem is, Russia will not be able to repay that $11 billion. They haven't actually conveyed that to the International Monetary Fund as yet, but in an interview with Time magazine, Russian officials said, $11 billion? When the hell are we ever going to have that kind of money? Oh, we almost got hit. Oh, that's a dinger. That's a dinger. That's a dinger. Where'd that ball go? Where'd that ball go? Where the hell did that ball go? Well, that's all right. I'm in the middle of a radio show. I have no business chasing homers. Ying Merle would have chased homers? You out of your cotton-picking minds? I can even ask a question like that. The International Monetary Fund, which had been keeping the $11 billion under a large mattress, said if Russia didn't pay it back, it'd break the nation's collective knees. Russia countered by offering to do some sort of trade-out deal. Sergei Stroganov, a Russian diplomat, said he'd give the Monetary Fund a couple black lacquered boxes, maybe some hooch if they'd call it even. He said the Ruskies would even be willing to throw in Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Well, Alexander tried to protest, but was thumped on the head with a pipe wrench and boxed up for shipping. The Monetary Fund folks say they don't want Solzhenitsyn, but they'll take the Bolshoi Ballet. Russia says that's going to cost a little more than $11 billion if you want the Bolshoi. You're going to pay a little bit more than $11 billion. Negotiations continue and will continue long into the evening tonight. We'll keep you posted here at the Mishki Broadcast because that's what we do. We cover the news. We don't know how radio works, but when it's working, we know how to utilize it to the advantage of our listeners. That's what we're here for tonight. And there's a large, well, there's a large, loud buzzing sound in my headset right now, louder than I ever remember it. Let me see if I just hit something here. Nope. That may be the neon. That may be the neon. Sometimes the neon on top of the shack buzzes. Hey, what's going on out in the stands there? Is there a promotion tonight involving the burning of the flag? Oh, wait a minute. I don't know what that is. It's whoopee cushion night here at Midway. So, if you hear a little something during the show, don't blame me. That's out there. That's going to be the collective sound of 6,300 people sitting down on a whoopee cushion. Everybody got one free. So those people out there could, if there's a homer or something, all get up cheering and then all go down at once. Wham! 646-TALK, the number here at the broadcast, 646-8255. Fine summer breeze blowing tonight. Coming at me from big-time Minneapolis there. That's where the sun's coming from, too. Were you to ride off into the sunset tonight, you would ride right into one seriously large metro area. A lot of big buildings over there. A lot of people. A lot of crack. A lot of crack. Occasionally, if I leave you people, it's because this is the first night back with this homestand. This is the first of three nights we'll be here. And it's magical again, sitting here watching a ball game. And sometimes I forget about the show, forget about you, forget about what I do for a living, forget about my contract, forget about what's right and what's wrong, and think about baseball, where everything's right, nothing's wrong. Inside the ballpark fence, all your troubles seem to melt away. You know, they're not worried too much about the Northern Ireland problem here tonight, I'll tell you that. Not too many people fretting over the Middle East sitting here tonight, I'll tell you that. I mean, we got 6,300 people here. This could be a mini village, and no one's hurting each other. No one's backstabbing each other. And even if there is the occasional pickpocketing, it's not violent crime. People are just relaxed and enjoying each other's company. See, the fact is, we really do need each other, folks. If just one person were in the stands, it wouldn't be as fun. And yet, if you polled these people, if you went to them and said, say, the fat guy next to you, do you really need him to be here? They'd say no. Oh, yeah? Well, what if we took all the people away, huh? You'd probably want the fat guy back, wouldn't you? Gas and all. You'd take him. You'd take him. What am I doing here? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's this? Hang on a second. Let me move this thing off to the side. Ow! The Pope offers an antidote for technology, warning that humanity must not become a slave to technology. Pope John Paul II looked out over the Italian Alps this weekend and urged people to take time to enjoy nature. He said, quote, "Our life in the age of technology risks becoming ever more anonymous and a function of the productive process. Man thus becomes incapable of enjoying the beauties of creation." It's a little late. Wise words, but it may be a little late. We've all been told it's precisely because we're a slave to technology that we're now facing dire warnings of the impending Y2K disaster. Show number 14 in a row where Mishki brings up the Y2K problem. For a guy who knows nothing about computers, this fascinates the listenership. I think we failed to heed that advice of the Pope's many years ago. Don't become a slave to technology. And now computers are king and it's too late. They own us outright. We're slaves to technology. The computer is massa. The computer is massa. And the wretched little things are supposedly going to take us all down with them in a year and a half. When midnight strikes in the year 2000 and all hell breaks loose. Y2K, it's a coming to get you, people. It's a coming to get you. You better hidey hide. You better jump up, run away. You better hidey hide. Yes, coming in the year 2000, that old slave master. He's going to teach us the final lesson in how brutal slavery can be when he makes a little boo-boo. A little boo-boo, the Y2K problem. And the old computers don't record the year 2000, but instead the year 1900. Well, then we'll see how that warning of the Pope really should have been heeded much earlier. And we'll be stuck singing old spirituals in the cotton fields of technology, huh? Old spirituals. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom from software. You have made us all a slave. Our escape is in our grave. Let us all go home to our Lord and be free. No more internet. The web we must all forget. Give us manual typewriters and a number two pencil. Oh, my Lord, what have we done? We've let the computer be number one. Now we're off to our grave to be free. Sing it, people. Free yourselves. Free yourselves. Get the heck away from your computer tonight. Go to a ball game, or go up to northern Minnesota, build yourself a little lean-to on the side of a hill, live off the land, suck back slugs in the morning for breakfast, and wash it down with a little clean running water from the Baptism River. Penn State students and other young people hitting the streets as bars closed early Sunday erupted into a riotous frenzy, clashing with police, setting bonfires, vandalizing cars, and smashing storefront windows, with streetlight poles torn down by the mob. 14 police officers hurt in the 2.5 hours of rioting by up to 15,000 people. 20 people were arrested. Property damage estimated at $50,000. This is another example of the problem associated with alcohol abuse. State College Police Chief Tom King said, "I read this tonight expecting at some point to encounter a reason for the riot, an excuse for the riot, a story behind the riot, what the riot was all about." Nice catch! Anyway, rare is the story on a big riot that doesn't ultimately deliver a reason for the existence of the riot. You see, folks, that's why in the who, what, when, where, and why of Journalism 101, it's important to be attentive and to not be hungover and not be on heroin. Why? Who, what, when, where, why? Why was there a riot? Why was there a riot? We don't have the why. We don't have a why here. And I can only assume it's because no reason was given for the riot. When was the last time there was a riot with no reason whatsoever? I give you the story one more time. Penn State students and other young people hitting the streets as bars closed early Sunday erupted into a riotous frenzy, clashing with police, setting bonfires, vandalizing cars, smashing storefront windows with streetlight poles torn down by the mob. 14 officers hurt, 2.5 hours of rioting, 15,000 people rioting, 20 people arrested, property damage at 50,000, and we don't know why. Does that trouble any of you? All right, the alcohol removed certain inhibitions, I'll give you that. That allowed the students to riot without fear of consequences, perhaps. But what was the reason for the riot in the first place? Alcohol doesn't make you riot. If it did, there'd be a riot in every bar in the Twin Cities tonight. Why do we have a riot to report at Penn State University? They are rioting. Why are they rioting? The Vietnam War is over, isn't it? What's going on, kids? Why are you rioting? Are you doing it for the hell of it? That's like taking hostages and not having a demand. That's like invading a country from the south, firing no weapons, and exiting from the north, having done nothing but pass through. It's odd. This is like going to a bank and handing a teller a note that's blank. It's as though the president called a summit meeting, but placed nothing on the agenda. There's a missing element here, people. A why that needs to be answered. It's as though Tommy Lasorda has put on a goalie mask and hid in your closet only to be startled upon being discovered, promising never to do it again but leaving a box of oatmeal behind and a catheter. Why were you in the closet, Tommy? He doesn't say why. We're left with a grand mystery. It's all so puzzling. Why do Penn State students riot, huh? Were there any chants? Were they saying, hell no, we won't go? Hell no, we won't go? Where didn't they want to go? We don't know. We don't have answers. Did they parade around with placards? Were the placards blank? Almost, they say. They were shaded or tinted in a teal blue, but that's all. The students demanded to meet with the dean of students. When he agreed, they merely informed him of their favorite color. It was a frustrating day for authorities. When one leaves reason behind, people, the world gets most difficult. If you got a riot, people, riot over something. Wages, mistreatment of some sort, government intrusion. Don't make the Saturday afternoon options, I could toss a frisbee, I could catch a movie, or I could riot. If it's just a matter of getting some exercise, there are other ways. However, a new ad in USA Today indicates the best way to lose 30 pounds in 30 days is by staging a riot. A new weight loss regimen endorsed by the American Medical Association calls for daily rioting for a solid month where food intake is relegated to what you can find on the streets. After 30 days, weigh yourselves and you will be plenty surprised. Here's a photo of Carol. Carol Swinecobbler. Carol, before the program, appeared to be just this side of a Sherman tank in terms of her waistline. After 30 days on the rioting program, Carol tossed Molotov cocktails, stormed the Capitol with a contingent of frustrated Cuban nationals, slammed down a sandwich when she could, but dropped to a nice size 8. She feels better. Says she's happier, is convinced that the issue of what to do with Cuba has been placed on the front burner, and it's win-win all the way around. Was that the reason behind the Penn State rioting? We don't know. We got a man on that as well. We'll keep you posted, along with the whole Ruski $11 billion thing. Because we're your nightly news offering, your source for news, Mishki Broadcast, AM 1500 KSTP, the number 646-TALK, 646-8255, or long distance 1-800-962-0792. And we'll be back after this! We'll be back after this! We'll be back!
Dun Brothers Coffee, dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun Brothers Coffee, dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun Brothers Coffee, dun-dun-dun. Dun Brothers Coffee, well, don't you know about Dun Brothers? Everyone loves Dun Brothers. Got dun Brothers Coffee.
You know what I like to do on a really hot night when it's about 90 degrees and the dew point's at about 80 and I'm sitting with the sun blasting at me full bore? I like to make myself a steaming hot pot of coffee and suck it back like there's no tomorrow. I've been known to put down 15 cups in a row when I'm sweating like a sow. Then I like to take it and pour it all over my lap. And sue people. Then I like to sue people. Anyone.
I can find all sorts of people to sue. I know I took the coffee. I know I made it myself. I know I poured it on my lap, but I can always find someone to sue. They're out there. The person who manufactured the coffee, the person who made the coffee pot, the person who gave birth to me and first allowed me to be raised, a man capable of pouring hot coffee on his lap. You can always sue somebody. Let me tell you a little something about America. You can always sue somebody. I don't care. You get up in the morning, you get a lawyer on the line, you guys get together, have a cup of coffee at Dunn Brothers, you'll come up with a reason to sue somebody. There's always someone to sue, and it's always a 50-50 deal. You could win. You could win. If you'd like to hook up with a lawyer at Dunn Brothers Coffee Shops, there are 10 metro locations for Dunn Brothers. You sit down, you talk to a lawyer. Now, it's tough to get lawyers into Dunn Brothers sometimes. Tough to get them in there. Because they don't know what's going on. They're going, wait a minute. We can just get our coffee at our grocery store, and we can go over to my office, brew it up, and I like to sit at a big board table, you know, a boardroom with a big mahogany table and chairs. I like to talk. I don't know these coffee shops. And you say, pal, where do you get your coffee at a grocery store? I thought you got your groceries at the grocery store. You get your coffee at a coffee shop. If I could just instill in your minds this one thought, ladies and gentlemen, groceries in a grocery store, coffee in a coffee shop. Say it with me. Groceries in a grocery store, coffee in a coffee shop. I got a grocery in a grocery store, I got a coffee in a coffee shop. Get it? It's easy. They don't have the good coffee in a grocery store. Now you say, yeah, they do. They have a little thing down the aisle, and it's really good coffee, and you can grind the beans yourself. Hogwash! It's not roasted fresh daily. Do you want fresh coffee or don't you? I mean, I don't want to hit you over the head with a hammer. Settle down, Miski. I happen to have a hammer here, and I don't know why, but when I saw it, I thought, hammer! I don't have to hit you over the head with a hammer, do I, people? Groceries in a grocery store, coffee in a coffee shop. You don't have to sit there all day. You may have a job, but you can go in there and you can order your coffee, and you can walk out with it, and I'm guaranteeing you, when you brew that in the morning in your house will fill with the aroma of fresh coffee like it's never filled before. In fact, it's been known to asphyxiate some people. Asphyxiate them! But what a way to go if you gotta go down, huh? Think of the options. You know what carbon monoxide smells like? It's odorless. Who wants to die that way? Inhale coffee. You know what happens when you die? You know what the near-death experience is like when you die inhaling coffee? It's glorious. It's glorious. White light? Way more than a white light meets you, let me tell you that. I'm not gonna give it away. We'll have everybody checking out at the end of the evening, and some of you people may have an Arbitron diary. So, go to Dunn Brothers, suck it back like there's no tomorrow, and live the good life. That's all I want to say to you tonight. That's it. And I think our 60 seconds are up for this particular commercial, and that's all they paid for. Dunn Brothers, the one selling the good coffee.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tonight, clear and a low of 72. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high of 92. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and a low of 72. Currently it's 86. Now back to the Mischke broadcast.
Well, I'm going down the road and stopping Fannie Mae. Gonna tell Fannie what I heard. A boyfriend said, don't start me talking. I'll tell everything I know. I'm gonna break up this signal fine, cause somebody's got to go. Jack give his wife $2, go downtown and get some mocking. Get tight on his feet. Old George stopped him. He knocked her down and black in the eye. She gets back home, tell her husband a lie. Don't start me talking, I'll tell everything I know. I'm gonna break up this signal fine. Somebody's got to go.
Mischke broadcast, AM 1500 KSTP, live from the shack, the shanty by the track. Ted Kaczynski's cabin from Montana's out back. I got it from the feds, they took it from Ted. He lucked out and he ain't dead. He's doing time. Shadow Man back at the ranch. But Shadow Man off the muddy ditches of 61 there. Lonely tonight there, isn't it, Shadow Man? You got to be all alone in that building tonight. You know, a guy could come out there, kick in the front door, and mess with you tonight, couldn't somebody?
I don't know. It's a pretty big door.
Yeah, but still.
I got all the lights out.
Plastique. You know what plastique is?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, plastique. A lot of people don't believe people in the Midwest have plastique. Well, a lot of people in Oklahoma didn't know anything about fertilizer bombs before the big explosion either. I don't want to get you all nervous, Shadow Man, but you alone in that section of town, not a lot of people, no one would hear you scream. No one would hear you scream. All they got to do is cut the phone lines, keep you from making the 911 call, and they could keep you hostage for hours. All the things they could do. Hot wax, all the different tortures. They could be people who studied medieval history. You never know. Don't worry about it, though. I'm safe here. I got 6,300 people protecting me live, Midway Stadium, this green cathedral in the beautiful Midwest, where tonight it feels like the finest day of my life, which was when I was 9 years old and I got Killebrew, Cesar Tovar, and Tony O in the same pack of baseball cards. No gum, though. Didn't need it, though. Going down to Fannie Mae's. All right, here we go. News. As I see it, General Motors plans to recall more than 1 million Cadillac, Chevrolet, and Pontiac cars because the airbags can inflate inadvertently without a crash. They can just all of a sudden go. That's a bugaboo. Not for me. I drive old cars. When the cars that I have were built, no one knew what the hell an airbag was. That was something you vomited into on an airplane or something. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these airbags are just going off by themselves for no reason at all. Top of the hour, I heard something about going over a manhole cover and they inflate, or just sometimes they just inflate. No one knows why. There is no reason. Hey, Dave, can you grab me that roadmap? Poof! Oh! Carol, honey, you're going a little faster. Poof! Oh! What the hell was it? Kids, could you keep quiet in the backseat? Poof! All over America, for no reason at all, airbags are inflating without warning and knocking people silly. Has someone in your car been cold-cocked lately? Bring your GM vehicle in for a little look-see. What seems to be the problem, Mrs. Mudshocker? Let's have a look. Poof! Oh! Found it! Al, will you come check this out? The triggering mechanism on this is faulty. Al, could you... Don't get too close, Al. Al, look out. Poof! Oh! Al's been cold-cocked! Family vacations disrupted again this year? Bring your GM automobile into a service center near you and have that airbag yanked. But be careful. It's a stinker. Poof! Oh! This should only take a minute, Mrs. Blob Boiler. Poof! Oh! There's got to be a better way to save American lives than this airbag. Poof! Oh! What did the astronauts do in the Apollo program, huh? I don't think they had airbags. They got by with seat belts and an inflatable life raft in case they made a rough ocean landing. Sometimes those inflatable life rafts opened a little, well, they opened at awkward times. You couldn't control it sometimes. Sure, they had a little problem with that. This is one small step for man, one giant leap for poof-o! Neil, this is Houston. We didn't catch all of that. Neil, have you been cold-cocked? Neil, come in. Have you been cold-cocked? Neil, have you been poof-o! Who's that, Buzz Aldrin? Buzz, come in. Have you been cold-cocked? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again. There's no reason in the world to pay $20,000 for an automobile, which happens to be the average price right now in America for an automobile. No reason. No reason. There's perfectly good vehicles out there for a thou. You don't need an airbag. By and large, if the bulk of Americans wore seat belts, we'd have no problems. Occasionally people would die, but people die anyway. This airbag thing has been ridiculous from day one. So the sole reason I won't buy a new car, I don't want to all of a sudden be driving, talking to my kids, poof-ow! Poof-ow! I don't want to have to deal with that. 646-8255, the number here, 646-TALK, or long distance, 1-800-962-0792. We're live in the shack. Boy, the field tonight looks pretty. And it beats staring into the darkness back off the muddy ditches of 61. Clyde's always on the other side of the thermopane glass with the lights out, and I only see him when he smiles. Here I can see other human beings, and I know I'm not alone. Burger King, however, Clyde is alone. For those of you out there twisted enough to be interested, Clyde is alone. I repeat, Clyde is alone. But Clyde was a MP. Not in the war. Clyde, you weren't in the service during the war, were you?
There was no war when you were an MP.
The Gulf War.
The Gulf War was going on?
Yep, while I was in basic training.
Oh.
So technically I'm a veteran, but I don't think a real veteran. No, I wouldn't say that.
Although if it gets you a girl.
Well,
I
mean, yeah. Yeah, I use it in the bar, but.
Oh, yeah.
I say that in the bar, but I never say that
even the guys
at the VA.
Don't say that at the VA. Get up. Get up, you layabouts. I'm a veteran and I've done something with my life. Get out of your cots, your gurneys, your beds. Get out of your wheelchairs. Don't tell me about war. I was in basic training during the Persian Gulf experience. Running every day. Push-ups every day. No, I wasn't shot at. We weren't using live ammo. But periodically, I'd pretend we were, and I know what battle's like. You people who think you were in it in Okinawa, Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, Antietam. Antietam? Well, Antietam, we can make it together. Kaysan, Wong Dong, Yi Nang, Wing Ho, Sok Ne, Rock Home, whatever one you were at there. I was in the Persian Gulf War. I got a little Persian Gulf syndrome. My Persian Gulf syndrome was I didn't make quite as much money as I thought I was going to. Those lying SOB recruiters should have told them I was gay. Huh? Oh, the news. Burger King has been forced to make 11th hour changes to advertise... Burger King has been forced to make 11th-hour changes to advertising and promotions tied to Small Soldiers, the movie Small Soldiers, because the movie turned out to be rated PG-13 instead of PG. Whoops-a-daisy. Whoops-a-daisy. Yeah. Yeah, Burger King got involved thinking it was a nice family program. Small Soldiers. Thought it would only have a small bit of violence, a small war. It's PG-13. The kids can't even go to the darn thing. The company, which created 12 movie-themed toys geared for kids 10 and under, pulled ads created to pitch the flick, and they removed the Kids Club logo from packaging and promotion. They're pretty upset at Burger King. They didn't know this thing was going to be PG-13. This is the second time something like this has caught Burger King off guard. Years ago, they intended to market toy tie-ins with the movie Scarface, only to learn the film set a record for the number of times the F-word was uttered. They had to scramble at the premiere and rework an ad campaign asking kids to make the F word in their lives French fries. If you like violence, the ad said, get violent with a Whopper. Charge it with your mouth wide open and destroy it with your razor-sharp teeth, swallowing as much as possible. Then show no mercy and order more. Finish off the day's batch, flooding any remaining nuggets in your gums with a thundering milkshake, and come back tomorrow to do battle again. McDonald's has only blown it once. That was when they wanted their Happy Meals to include toy tie-ins from Schindler's List. Who's here? Jim the Cabbie. Jimbo! Jimmy.
Hi, Tommy.
What's the matter with my Zippo? Before I came out here tonight, I loaded it with lighter fluid. I'm getting the flame. I'm getting the spark, and nothing.
You have to put a double dose of lighter fluid into a brand new lighter.
It's not brand new. It is relatively. It's a week old.
Have you used it before?
Once. One time.
So you filled it once?
Yeah, and used it, yeah.
How much you put in?
Well, I had this problem in the past. I used to fill it too much, and it would go over the side.
And then it would make a real mess, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I would do. It's very strange. And then I'd put it in my pocket,
uh-huh.
And during the show, my skin would begin to sting. And apparently the fluid seeped through my clothing in my pocket and got on my skin. And it stung all evening long, so I'm very careful now, because that was a very that happened often. But nothing's going on with this piece of junk lighter.
You got to put about 15 drops in. Just turn it over and try to drip it in. About 15 will reload.
Well, I don't have the fluid now. I left it at home.
Yeah, I know.
I can't have
smoke. I called because you were commenting on seatbelts and airbags.
Yeah.
And as a professional driver, I simply got to say, if the majority of Americans would simply pay attention on the road, neither would be necessary.
Sorry, Jim. I thought you were going to talk a little longer than that. I took a big bite of some food.
Why don't you
stretch your point out a little bit? I elaborate on that a bit. Thank you.
Well, most of the things I see on the road are people driving around and you know, digging in their glove box or singing to the music and a lot of times these same people are the ones I see later down the road either pulled over or in a minor accident because they don't pay attention.
You know what Vogel used to say? Vogel used to say, how come you can never find anybody in America who says, I'm a bad driver. I'm inattentive on the road. I'm always doing stupid things and hitting myself on the forehead going, boy, you must be bothering these other drivers. No one ever says that. All we get in America is complaints about the other drivers. One time I'd like to hear somebody say, I'm the guy they're talking about. I'm the guy everybody's talking about. Maybe it's one driver. He's on a loop.
Tommy, do you really expect me to say that with a passenger in my cab?
That you're the bad driver?
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of that honesty. Outside of seeing honesty in political ads, that would be the best. To just turn to your passenger and say, odds are very good that you're going to get to your destination in one piece, but of all the cab drivers you could be riding with, this was definitely the last one you would have had on your list if you knew a little bit about my driving habits.
Yes, Tommy, that would be professional suicide, so I'm not about to say that, and I do have a passenger in the cab.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that being attentive, although I read today, and this is rather shocking to me, that as dangerous as it is to drive around in a car, it's more dangerous to drive around in a boat?
Okay.
They were making that argument. I was thinking, what? They say after a while, when you're in your boat for a long time, there's some sort of hypnotic effect that takes over from pounding on the waves and from the noise of the engine and the sun, and people get kind of like, it's similar to being inebriated. They said it's almost like you can get to a state where you're almost like 0.10. They actually use that term. And with a vehicle that has no brakes, the danger is great that you could get in an accident.
Okay, Tommy, I'm going to have to go here. Okay. I'm getting directions, and I can't have two conversations at once.
All right, I got to go, too.
Driver on the road.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Can't hear you anyway. Big old train coming by. I can't hear a darn thing. And I was going to hang up on you a long time ago anyway, way before you even thought of hanging up on me. Hey, I forgot to plug in my clock tonight, Shadow Man. What time you got there? 8:46. We ought to give the time out more on this show and the temperature and... Oh, we do give the temp. But we never give the time. Jason gives the time. Jason's good on, the formatics of radio. He must have gone to a school or something. Oh, the temp's dropping now. I can feel it. I just got a little shiver. It was just a temp drop. Oh. You know what this is a night for? This is a night for going swimming in one of the city lakes after dark. Just pulling over at Nokomis or at Phelan or Cedar, Harriet, and just putting your car in park, racing across the grass and jumping in, just running back to your car. That's what this is a night for. Because that water... It's going to be like bath water. Why don't you people skip your bath tonight and just plug into one of the lakes in the city of lakes or in St. Paul, St. Paul? Minneapolis is the city of lakes and St. Paul is the city of land. Yes, the city of land. What the hell time did you say it was? I wasn't even listening to you, Klein. 47. South Korea, this just coming in. Security forces scouted South Korea's eastern mountains for commie intruders. After the body of a suspected North Korean spy was found, the search began after the military found a body clad in a diving suit alongside a small semi-submersible boat, similar to ones used by North Korean infiltrators in the past. Soldiers and police laid ambushes overnight along the east coast but failed to detect any traces of intruders. They just found the one man. The man's body was found washed ashore about 1.25 miles from a major naval base. The condition of the body indicated that the man died of heart failure. What do you mean the condition of the body indicated that? What, was he found gripping his chest? Did you do an autopsy or didn't you? The condition of the body indicated the man died of heart failure. You can't guess that by just finding a frog man dead washed up on shore. I mean, we all die of heart failure. What are you doing, North Korea? What are you doing here? They found a frog man trying to infiltrate South Korea, and apparently they got some old guy, and he had a heart attack, and he didn't make it. But let's go back to the plan. What's the plan? What are you doing, North Korea? Do you mind if I ask you what you guys are doing? Are you trying to secretly take over South Korea? Is that a wise thing to do right now, given the pickle you're in? Is that what we're seeing here? Do you think that's a viable option for your nation right now, to invade South Korea and to do it with one man? Given the fact that your country is starving right now and your military really barely up to the standards of the 50s, and I don't think it's even 50s material right now, maybe this is a bad time to try and rekindle the old Korean War. Maybe this is not such a good time to be trying this. All in all, things being what they are, I'm thinking your strategy is misplaced. One lone frogman is not going to bring you the prize you desire, since it's been a long time since one guy has been capable of winning an entire war. You got to go back to Cain and Abel, actually, to find an example. You just can't do it with one well-trained frogman. Now you add insult to injury, you got a dead frogman making his efforts to conquer the South dubious at best. My guess is we have to write this guy off as a failure. Though I know North Korea in its own stubborn way is going to say he still has a shot. They didn't say how skinny the fellow was that they found, but my guess is his heart failure had little to do with being old and more to do with living on grass and tree bark, which is what they're stuck doing down there in North Korea. You know, for the Normandy invasion, Ike made sure the fellows had a good meal ahead of time. They weren't just told to graze off plant life in the English countryside, folks. How do you think we won that particular battle? You got one lone frog man living off bark and grass trying to take South Korea. Have they all lost their minds? Mishki at the Shack, AM 1500 KSTP. Mishki for Homestead Mortgage. I didn't have the money for this shack. When I first wanted to move here, I didn't have the money. I couldn't afford this shack. Someone told me to get a mortgage. I said, they're not going to give me a mortgage for a little place like this. 8 feet by 4 feet, they're going to give me a mortgage for a place like that? I don't even own the land it's on. Get a mortgage. Call Homestead. They put roofs over people's heads. You need a roof over your head out at Midway so you can broadcast without getting electrocuted. So I went to Homestead and I said, you guys give me a mortgage for $850. They said, you got it, Slugger. They call me Slugger at Homestead. Well, the one fella did. And he got a little affectionate with me, and they had to let him go. Then another guy came along, and he just called me Mishk. He said, Mishk, we can get you that roof over your head out there. We can get you your dream home so you can relocate the family. A lot of people think this is just something I use for the radio show. They don't know that I got 7 kids living here, a wife and my grandmother. We do things the old world way in my family. We take care of the extended family. We bring them all together. The kids benefit not only from being in these close quarters, having that contact with everybody, but also by having extended family members here living with us as well. I'm not saying tempers don't flare from time to time. And these axe marks on my chest are proof that it hasn't been all,
peachy?
No, not peachy. Hasn't been all, hang on, let me take a bite of this and think about what a good word would be. Hasn't been all. Son of a gun, I don't have a word. You got a thesaurus there at all, Shadow Man?
No, just a dictionary.
Find me a word out of the dictionary, any word.
Any word?
Yeah.
Just open it up?
Yeah.
Let's see. Kinetic.
Hasn't been all kinetic, I'll tell you that. And what I've found is that if from time to time you just read the newspaper and find out what people don't have elsewhere in the world, and you look at Rwanda and Uganda and Zimbabwe and Namibia and Botswana and the Ivory Coast, and you know, and then you look at Monte Carlo, and you realize you're screwed. Screwed to be stuck in a little podunk dump like this when people are living high off the hog in the land of Sinatra. Casinos everywhere, nightlife, beautiful women, the glorious Mediterranean. And you say to yourself, why not me? Why don't I get a little of that, huh? And where am I stuck? Oh, it's a ball field, all right. It's a minor league ball field. Oh, I got a roof over my head. Fine. What did this thing cost? I've seen parents build tree houses for their kids nicer than this. Hot and sweaty and sticky and no air conditioning. And where am I? St. Paul. Who the hell in America's ever heard of that godforsaken hellhole? Homestead Mortgage, 835-7777. Call Homestead today, 835-7777.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tonight, clear and a low of 72. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high of 92. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and 72. Currently, it's 84. Now, back to the Mischke broadcast.
From the shack to Shetty by the track, Midway Stadium, good old St. Paul, Minnesota. You're listening to AM 1500 KSTP. Bill standing by. Bill? Oh, Bill.
I got a better phrase there than
what's the phrase? Not kinetic.
No, it's Skittles and beer.
Skittles and beer. Hasn't been all Skittles and beer.
Yes.
And where does that derive from? I've never heard that.
It's an old English phrase from a proverb, and it's not all...
Skittles, that's not a modern term, huh? Skittles.
No.
What were Skittles in the old world?
Kind of like...
Cooties? Cooties?
Like a pretzel, almost like a pretzel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's not all, pretzels and beer, which was like a really good thing.
Excellent. Thank you. Write that down, and from now on, when I am looking for something like that, Shadow Man, have that handy for me. This is the first time I've ever asked you to have a phrase handy, but I'm going to use that one again. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. In the next hour, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about more crapola. We'll be, getting the skinny on the dope and passing it your way as it passes our way. And we'll be up to the minute and down to the wire and around the corner and grab the bull by the horns and get to the bottom line and bring the news through the microphone out your way into your home, out of the speakers and up your yin-yang-ski there. So stick around and enjoy that because we got another hour to go. Mischke from the shack, Midway Stadium, AM 1500 KSTP, good old St. Paul, big time, Minneapolis. Me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, cause it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. I guess I'm taking the place of Harry Carey now. With Harry gone, you need some buffoon to step outside and make an ass of himself in front of the world. Hey, everybody! I do a radio show! What do you guys do for a living? What do you do for a living? Hey, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Oh, I know what you do, sir. You're a ball player. I wasn't talking to you. No, I can tell you're a ball player. Not a very good ball player, but you're a ball player. Missed!
and you only had one baseball to throw. Jackass!
All right, I better step back inside, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little too exposed out here. There could be gunfire. You know, Kennedy, when he was this exposed, didn't look worried. You saw him riding with Jackie, smiling, waving. He was in Texas. Jack, what were you thinking? You were in Texas without a roof. Without a roof, Jack. They had posters up all over Dallas saying wanted for treason, JFK. A simple roof. And we could have avoided having to put up with LBJ, the most vulgar president ever to sit in the Oval Office. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some beer, lots of beer. I understand there's a hell of a lot here. True, true. All right, back inside we go. Not that it's going to matter to you people whether I'm out here or in there, but I'm telling you anyway. I'm moving inside. Hang tight, Shadow Man.
I'm back. I'm going to put on my headset. I hope we're still on the air. I have been incommunicado.
With ground control, ground control, ground control, ground control. Rec leader one, rec leader one. Come in, Shadow Man.
I read you.
All right, there's
Jack. Lima Charlie.
Huh? Hey, my light's gone out. Oh, no. All right. What did you say? Something about a caller? Or no? What did you say?
No, Lima Charlie. That means loud and clear.
Lima Charlie?
Yes.
Lima Charlie means loud and clear?
Because Lima is L and Charlie is C, so loud and clear.
Loud and
Lima
clear.
Lima Charlie, yes.
Lima Charlie. Lima Charlie. All right. The number here at the shack, well, I'm not going to give you the private number at the shack. Well, actually, why don't you call the private number at the shack here once, Shadow Man? A lot of people don't believe I have a working phone here. Go ahead and call it. Go ahead and just ring it. Meantime. There she's ringing. You hear that? Oh, bother! I don't want to take a call now. It's Peter Jennings' wife. You ever notice that at the end of every ABC, what the hell's their show called? World News Tonight? At the end of every broadcast, Peter Jennings picks up the phone and calls his wife. They asked him one time, they say, Pete, why do you pick up the phone at the end of every one of those World News Tonight broadcasts? He says, I call my wife. You know, some people shuffle papers. Pete calls his wife. And sometimes his wife calls me. And Pete doesn't know that. And I'd like to keep it that way. Speaking of wives, where's that Dear Abby? Hang on a second. How come I... hang on a second. All right. I'll have to use the stadium lights here. This is a Dear Abby segment. We normally have a song that goes with this, but I don't really have one ready here. Hey, is the car machine up? The one that's connected to the shack, Shadow Man?
I don't know. That's out there.
Oh, let's just see what happens when I press it.
I hear it real low.
Oh, I must have it down real low. There are a lot of knobs and switches and buttons here, and I don't really know what most of
them. Is there one that says cart?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, let me turn that one up. That one's at 2. Let me put her up at about 9.
There you go.
Dear Abby, I've carried this resentment for 2 years and would like to ask you if I am right or wrong to feel hurt and angry. On Thanksgiving, 1996, which was our 53rd wedding anniversary, my wife and I invited our children and grandchildren and a few close friends to our home for dinner. We received many nice gifts from all. Abby, the following day, my wife passed away. It was completely unexpected. Thank goodness all my family was here. One couple, whom my wife and I had known for many years, immediately asked me to return their gift. I was shocked. But, of course, I complied. My children were angry at me for giving the gift back, but I complied. Was I wrong to return the gift? Let's take a look at this. Thanksgiving, 96th, 53rd anniversary. Children, grandchildren, close friends gather. Next day, the woman dies.
and a couple calls to ask for their gift back? What's missing from this story? Something's... I can't believe that. The following day, my wife passed away. One couple, whom my wife and I had known for years, immediately asked that their gift be returned. What? Do you believe this story? Does that sound right? You go to a big gathering, it's Thanksgiving, the love you feel, the memories you share, the extraordinary evening where you say to yourself with glasses raised high, this is what it's all about, the tragedy of learning the next day that one of those people you were with, someone celebrating their 53rd wedding anniversary, is now dead, and your first reaction is to say, can I get the gift back? Earl calling. Hi. Say, I heard the wife croaked. I'm wondering if I could get that gift I brought over back. It ain't going to be of much use to a stiff, so I was wondering if you all could send it my way. By the way, sorry about the loss. Glad I was able to eke out one last freebie meal out of the little lady before she bit the dust. Heck, I still was feeling a little gas from that dinner when I read the obit. Figured I'd better call while I still knew where that receipt was. I want to return it for cash on account of a weekend fishing trip I got planned where I need plenty of beer money. Don't think of this as that big of a deal. Your deceased wife would probably have understood. She used to put away a few cold ones herself, as I recall. I know she seemed pretty schnockered that night I was with her. She had to be pretty blitzed to ask me to slip into the bedroom with her. But now's not the time to go telling that story, what with you in a state of mourning and all. Anywho, could you hop on out of that state of grief of yours long enough to run that gift over here, or should I send my kid for it? He normally has been a little shy about coming over to your place on account of your wife's reputation, you know, and the way she always was trying to get the young boys into the shed with her. But I told him she's out of commission now, and there's no need for any worries in that department. He's a good boy, just out of high school. I'll have him stop by to grab the gift, and, hell, if you see anything else lying around that looks like it used to be mine, you know, anything that I might have given you over the years, I'd like you to throw that in a bag so my kid can get it. Appreciate it. Again, sorry about the wife. I'm sorry more for me than you, really, because I did take her up on those little invites occasionally, and we did have some fun. It was never when you would have been available anyway. You were mostly at work during those little romps. Harmless stuff, really. Got a little weird when she brought in the midgets, but nothing too crazy. All the best now. I'll see you at the funeral. I'll bring the booze. Okay, but I want it back if we don't drink it all. Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, bye-bye. 646-TALK, the number here, 646-8255, or long distance, 1-800-962-0792. Back after this. Who am I doing an ad for? Oh, yeah, Summit. See, I got a Summit story for you. I got to call the boys at Summit and find out just what the heck's going on. I know there was going to be this period of time where they transferred from the University Avenue Brewery to the glorious new Beacon on the Hill off the Mighty Mist down on Shepherd Road and Montreal. And there was possibly going to be a little downtime somewhere in there, but I went to my local liquor store today, and the guy says, Mishk, Summit Pale Ale is in short supply, bud. Looks like it'll be about the end of July before we'll be well stocked. I said, what? Yeah, the Pale Ale, you know, it being the flagship brand and all, and them, you know, having to make the big move, and there just being a little downtime now, it's tough to find. If you can find a six-pack of Pale Ale, hang on to it. It's a hot item right now, Mishk.
What?
Then I took the guy by his lapels, and I bounced him off a wine rack. Grabbed him by the nose, like, over here. You find somewhere in there a six-pack of pale ale, buddy. You know there's something in there, one that didn't get put away just right, or one that they forgot to stack. Somewhere there's one in there. You go in there, look. And he looked, came back, and said, sorry, Mishk. It's a hot night, ladies and gentlemen, and that's my beer on a hot night. Do I expect sympathy from you? No. No more than the sympathy we would have for that woman in that ad. Remember that ad a little earlier where the woman said, my yard is a difficult yard. It slopes down for a long time to a lake, and I had trouble landscaping it. I don't imagine you felt sorry for her either. Oh, you have a huge lard, your lard ass. You have a huge yard, and it slopes down to a lake, does it? Oh, boy. And here we are worried about the folks in North Korea. Oh, you got a landscaping problem, huh? Oh, sorry to hear that. Glad someone was able to help you with that. Now, you don't have sympathy for me because I can't find my beer, and that's okay. That's okay. I can find some swill. When you're out of Summit, you're out of beer, though, you know. Who said that? What beer was that when you're out of Schlitz? You know, a beer like Schlitz was really never going to make it. What kind of a name is that? Although I hear at one time they were number one, 50s, and then they did something foolish. I don't remember what it was, and they let the other guys slip ahead of them. I know they were at least ahead of Miller there for a while. You know, thank God there are people here at this ballpark, because it is mighty quiet out there in Radioland tonight. Mighty quiet. I don't have a lot of time left on the air tonight, and I don't have a lot of time left to live. This may not be the best time to break it to you. But I have Stacherack. Stacherack is a stomach ailment which has no cure. Stacherack was first diagnosed in 1957, and it's a disease that is almost solely working here in the Midwest. And I picked it up from some Braunschweiger I had, and they say my strength will begin to erode, and that by the beginning of August, I won't be on the air anymore. I won't be able to speak. About the end of July, just before that happens, Summit will kick out some pale ale, and it's that that's keeping me going, knowing that before I die, before I go, before I leave you good people, and the great times we've had together on the air over the years, and we've had some great times, people, you and I, before I leave this earth and bid you all farewell, let someone else take over here, I'm going to get a hold of one of those pale ales, and I'm going to hoist it up high. I'm going to toast you all. Appreciate you hanging with me all these years. If at the end of the month you can get your hands on a Summit pale ale, I'd appreciate if you grab a bottle, pop the cap, and raise it along with me. I'll be in my bed, special hospital bed, moved into my den. And I'll have to put the beer through tubes, but I'll get it into my system one way or another. You do the same, folks. And let's thank the people at Summit Brewing for making that moment possible. Summit Brewing Company, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 92. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and 72. Currently, it's 84. Now back to the Mischke broadcast.
KSTP out at the shack, the shanty by the track, back off the muddy ditches of 61. It's the Shadow Man, Clyde Lewis, technical director, studio engineer.
American ingenuity. Taking us on a roller coaster ride through the fertile fields of genius.
Summertime, and the living's supposed to be easy. For new parents, Donald Spector's recently awarded patent could ease the wails of a crying baby. Mr. Spector, who lives in Union City, New Jersey, invented a voice-activated sound and light box that attaches to a crib. It's cry-activated. When a baby wails, a sound-activated switch turns on a light inside the box. The light shines through a semi-reflective mirror on the box's front side. Behind the mirror is a slot for a picture. The box also has a recording and a playback system. Mr. Spector's idea is that the new parents will slip a photo of Mom into the picture slot. And Mom will record a soothing message for the baby. Thus, when the infant cries, his wails light up the box and start the playback. The child sees Mom's picture, hears Mom's voice. And Mr. Spector says, hopefully the kid will stop crying. He's received a patent for this invention. Who needs Mom and Dad now? Now that we have Mr. Spector. You toss this thing in the crib, the baby wails, the thing flips on, Mom's voice is played, and her picture pops onto a screen. Ring, ding, 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 ding. Everything's okay, Junior. Look, here I am, smiling. Hi, go back to sleep now. Your daddy and I are at a saloon. And apparently they can now stay at the bar, nursing their Boilermakers thanks to this invention. Should we check on the kid, Harriet? Ah, hell no. Junior has the photos. If he's still crying after viewing a nice mugshot of you and I, there ain't a hell of a lot more we can do for him. If he's crying when we get home, we'll give him a shot of hooch. That'll knock him out. Good idea, honey. Thank God for the wonderful voice-activated sound and light box, and thank God for Donald Spector, our savior. Has he made parenting easy? Thanks, Don. In a day and age where Ma and Pa aren't around enough as it is, you just gave them an excuse to stay away a little bit longer, Donnie. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Don. Invention number two. Lots of people go on vacation in summer, making it difficult to schedule work meetings. Well, Greg Fitzpatrick and Marvin Williams, two Texas inventors working for IBM, have patented a solution, an electronic calendar that monitors other electronic calendars and detects when free dates are available and fits them into the meeting. The invention uses an electronic calendar, part of a network of electronic calendars connected to a network of computers. First, the person initiating the meeting enters the date, time, and duration of the proposed meeting into his electronic calendar. If a conflict exists of any sort, well, the software notifies the person who entered the request. It then monitors the electronic calendars of the other participants, detecting when the conflicting events are rescheduled or canceled. When that happens, the electronic calendar schedules the proposed meeting on the agendas of everyone involved. My God. Well, what's happened to us, people? What are we all becoming? What have we done to ourselves? Bring back the flaming 18th century, I say, and let's bring sanity back to our lives. Buy me a horse, someone. Drill me a well. Make me a lean-to, and I'll be fine. And my calendar will be free, I'll guarantee you that. Baby! My calendar is free. There's nothing on it, girl. Every space is empty. No meetings, no appointments between here and eternity. An associate wanted to book lunch. I told him, I don't have a pen. He said, how about breakfast in the morning? I said, the same damn thing again. He said, can we book a meeting? 5 o'clock downtown. I said, don't get me dizzy. I don't want to get busy. I ain't writing the damn thing down. I ain't gonna meet you, boy. I ain't gonna make a single date. I'm saving all my time for my baby, starting every morning and going late. What is this crap, old, what is this crap I'm reading about? I got an electronic calendar that monitors my electronic calendars and tells me when certain things are scheduled and rescheduled and cancels and contacts other electronic calendars of other people trying to get on my calendar. And my God, put this right up there with a voice-activated baby monitor. And then throw in the Pope's quote from today's news, the one we talked about in the last hour. If you missed it earlier, here it is again. Our life in the age of technology risks becoming ever more anonymous and a mere function of the productive process. Man is slowly becoming incapable of enjoying the beauties of creation. Pope JP II. That is, unless creation is played out on a square screen through the glorious use of the Internet, which allows all of us to see the face of God in the almighty web page. Our computer, which art in cyberspace, hallowed be its name. Our web page comes, our search is done. We've found Earth, our heaven. Give us this day the Internet and forgive the monopoly of Bill Gates as we forgive IBM for the Y2K problem. And lead us not toward a virus, but deliver us from the millennium bug. For thine is the be-all and the end-all and the alpha and the omega forever and ever, God love you, IBM. Bunch of jackasses. Who? Oh. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Tommy.
What are you up to tonight? Just driving around?
Heading for home.
Heading home after another long day and a string of long days, one blurring into the other, and pretty soon you say to yourself, what the hell am I doing with my life? I'm
Tommy,
pushing 50 years old.
Tommy,
huh?
I spend my day going for a series of short walks or short drives in the sunshine.
All right, Fred. What's on your mind?
Oh, just wanted to see if you wanted to talk about pig farmers and nylons.
Hang on a second. I got to turn you up. Which one of these knobs would that be? Let me see. Oh, no! That's the wrong one. Don't touch that. Let me try this. All right. Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, much better. Much better. Holy smokes. I got to remember that knob. That knob is Y2K. Y2K! Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Oh, I just thought you might want to talk about pig farmers and nylons.
Farmers and nylons?
Pig farmers and nylons.
Pig farmers and wearing nylons. I'm sure you're referring to the Suchi program of last Friday, right?
Yes, actually I am. I tuned into that because I wanted to hear what you sounded like sober.
Well, how'd it go?
You don't sound that much different than you do now.
Well, I got in there. I'll tell you, I got in there. I think I turned up my microphone. As a matter of fact, all of a sudden I'm hearing myself a lot louder, too. I got in there Friday to fill in for Such. You know, it was a harmless little thing. You know, fill-ins are fill-ins. No one expects the fill-in to be the host, and the host, while he's gone, shouldn't expect the fill-in to do anything that, you know, dramatic or world-changing. It's just a, you know, the guy's away, and you're, you know, your house sitting for him. Well, I got in there, and there was a lot of murmuring and whispering and concern that I was going to destroy everything Joe had built up over the years. And there was some sense that it might have been a mistake to call me and weren't there others available and that sort of thing, which really ticked me off. And then I set down my music and they said, we can't play that. Joe will go through the roof if we play your music. And that became a little bugaboo. And then I got on the air, and there were people gathered around the windows looking through. You know, and I work at night, and there's never anybody there, and no one ever looks through the windows. And look at Mishki's there. He's doing Joe's show. How do you figure? And
if Joe's show can survive Boise, it's no problem you doing it.
Well, and I don't know why, when you think about it, why Royce isn't asked to do it more often.
You didn't hear it the one time he did it?
Well, what did he do, really? What did he do?
He alienated almost everybody that listens to Joe.
But isn't that entertaining? I mean, isn't that entertaining? Do you take talk radio so seriously? And I'm not talking to you, Fred. I'm talking to the general listening public. Do you take it so seriously that when Royce comes in, who you know is going to be a little schnickelfritz, a little rascal, but you know who's going to want to stir the pot, as any man is who's got nothing to lose doing a fill-in, you know? You know he's going to try to make some waves, and what you do is you sit back and you enjoy the glory of that moment. But no, people get so married to their little soap opera personalities that they go, you're destroying all Joe has built over the years. My God, look at it come tumbling down like the walls of Jericho. Pat, what are you doing? I thought you were a friend of his. And why? Because Royce refers to GL as Whiteyville? So what? So what? It's all a game. It's just radio.
I did work on a pig farm in Iowa for a while.
Yeah, I hope it was a regular old pig farm and not one of these corporate hog farms. I'd like to take one of these corporate hog farms and make the guys in the corporate boards. I assume there are corporate boards when there are corporate hog farms, and make them, you know, have their big board meetings right there in the, manure pit, inhaling the gas.
This was a real pig farm.
Flow charts and spreadsheets all full of mud. Huh?
This was a real pig farm, and it's not uncommon for people that do that type of work and other types of work to wear nylons. I wore nylons on that job because I was wearing chest waders.
This is fascinating, Fred. You put on women's clothing to be a pig farmer?
You put on the nylon.
Yeah, you put on women's clothing, Fred. Nylons are not men's clothing.
That's right, Tommy.
So let's just call it what it is. A spade
Fine.
A spade here. You wore
clothing.
You put on women's clothing, a heavy
and
set
baby
man.
Powder.
Baby powder?
And baby powder.
Let me ask you something. When you were with the pigs and you had that stuff on, did you feel a little bit, what's the term, deviant?
No.
A little bit.
Because I was also wearing chest waders. And that's the reason.
I put on a pair of chest waders last Saturday. Stepped
yeah.
right on a live mouse. It had made a home in the foot of my chest waders.
You didn't knock the stuff out before you put them on, Tommy?
No, I did after, when it was too late, and the little guy came charging out, along with tons of torn-up paper and what looked like stuffing from a pillow or something, and a lot of his poop.
Yeah.
And the little guy was doing just fine, even though I had just crushed his little body. I went in barefoot, you know. I don't know if you people realize, but, you know, it's easier when you're barefoot on a hot summer day. And I went right in barefoot, and I said, there's not supposed to be something furry moving under there.
Well, what you find out, Don, is when you're going to spend 8 to 10 hours in a pair of chest waders or hip waders, the nylons keep the sweat away from your body and stop the chafing.
Chafing?
Chafing.
Chafing?
When you spend a lot of time in those things, especially when you're mucking around and decomposing stuff that's creating heat.
Yeah.
And it makes it a lot more comfortable, and you don't have any adverse side effects like jungle rot.
Were you wearing underwear, Fred?
Yes, I was.
All right. All right, Fred, that's interesting. And that was in Iowa?
That was in Iowa, plus I also used the same procedure when I had to do work in the water down when I was living down in Fort Walton Beach. I was doing some work on a bridge down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were spending a lot of time in the water.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember in the Battle of the Bulge, my daddy telling me he wore nylons. In the Battle of the Bulge, one of the great battles there after Normandy. And
yeah, December 17th, 1944, the Germans come across the River into
We lost 50,000 good men.
Yeah.
And a lot of them had gone without the nylons. In fact, my dad told me he was the only one wearing them. But he wore them, and I forget what he said the deal was. I think it just reminded him of home. I think that was it. And Ma, they were sent primarily from his home, from his mother. And all the guys chided him. But he got the last laugh because they got shot. Thanks, Fred.
Bye, Tommy.
Bye-bye. Well, we'll take a break. Mishki from the Shack, AM 1500 KSTP.
I'll blame this whole thing on you guys.
Oh, hi. Dunkashane. Dunkashane. Wow, why are they singing that song? Wasn't that the German version of Tokyo Rose or something? Who sang that song, Dunkashane? This is some sort of propaganda broadcast I'm hearing out here. Of course, what's my show when you think about it? Mishki for RF Moeller Jeweler. Boy, you know, Moeller got a little plug on Suchi's show today. Did you hear that? Did you hear the start of Suchi's show today at all, Shadow Man?
No, I missed it.
Shadow Man scrambling back there because of some sort of audio trouble. Is everything, Jake, on the audio now?
I won't know till we put Undertaker Fred on.
Well, let's check right now real quick with Fred just to see if everything's okay, because I want you to relax and just settle back and go back to smoking that big reefer you were smoking. Fred?
Yeah, it's all Jake with me, Tommy.
How's Fred sound?
How do I sound there?
Sounds good in my headset.
Am I coming through?
Loud and clear to me. I wonder how Shadow Man hears
Still
you.
Still a little crackle. Hang on, let me...
A little crackle.
See, and I can hear it when I talk, too.
Well, yeah. That must be something wrong with your voice and Shadow Man's voice. What, you guys been eating at the same restaurant? Let me see if I'm going to start turning a bunch of knobs. We'll see if I can fix... Whoa, look at that. Any better now?
Say something again, Fred.
Say something, Fred.
Well, we're
oh, okay,
right here,
yep,
Tommy.
Sounds good.
Okay, you
okay,
know
Fred,
was.
we'll put you on hold, Fred.
Okay. It was the Y2K, that knob. Hello, Mishki for RF Moeller Jeweler. You just heard Fred, who's just some guy who sometimes comes on in the middle of jewelry ads for no reason. The beginning of Joe's show today, I heard Joe say, at one point he said, I'm buddies with Mishki's buddy. And I thought to myself right away, what one of my friends is he friends with? And he says, Moeller, Mark Moeller. And I said to Mark Moeller just a week ago, I said to him, Mark, you got a classy joint. What are you doing going with Mishki? And Mark said, sales have been unbelievable. And then Suchi said, he said to Moeller when they were golfing together, he said, if I break 80, I'll go into your store and buy the cheapest Rolex you can buy. What's the cheapest Rolex? A couple $1,000s? And Mark said, what did Mark say to him? You something or other. He called him some sort of name. Cheap, I think, was the gist of it. Moeller said, if you break 80, I'll give you a Rolex. And, of course, Suchi didn't break 80 because Suchi doesn't break 80. Mark's a competitor, though. He used to play golf with my brother, and when my brother started to win, Mark decided to take lessons. See, he doesn't like the competition to one-up him. And what he decided to do in that little golfing deal is very similar to what he does in business. His job, he feels, is to make you happier than any other jeweler. And if he does, and he does it well, does it right, you'll be back at his place and not at the competition's. That's the game. You win as the customer. You're out there with these guys just fawning all over you, trying to get you to shop at their place. And all these radio ads are blasting, and everybody's saying, come to our place. Well, Moeller, just for reasons of pride alone, will not allow you to ever be happier somewhere else. That's part of the reason for the lifetime return policy. He just finds things that he can do that no one else has the guts to do. And again, you're the beneficiary. So think of that next time you're out driving around listening to Suchi, wanting to go buy yourself a nice diamond engagement ring. Say if he's a pal of Suchi's, Mishki swears by him, he's got a lifetime return policy, must be the place to go. R.F. Moeller Jeweler, 50th and France in Edina, Ford Parkway in Cleveland in St. Paul.
Dave Dahl's KSTP forecast. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 92. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and a low of 72. Currently, it's 83. Now back to the Mishki broadcast.
Center field wall here on a hot, sultry, steamy, sticky summer night. Shadow Man back at the station, scrambling, trying to keep this boat afloat. Standing by, you know him well.
No calling in.
He works with cadavers. Die, Fred.
And, you don't remember back 35 and 36 around in there.
1935 and 1936?
Yeah, 105 degrees.
I'm going to have to turn Fred up again. Yeah. We're going to have those sound problems.
A little sound problem.
Well, right when you start talking, a big old train comes a-chugging on by.
Oh,
it's a big old train come a-chugging on by. That's a big B in. It's a-coming on by.
That's a Chattanooga choo-choo. We'll sing that one after me.
Pardon me, Fred. Was that the cat who ate your new shoes?
Pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo on track 29? Boy, you can give me a shine. I can afford to board the Chattanooga choo-choo because I got my fare and just a trifle to spare. You leave that Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four, read a magazine, and then you're in Baltimore. Dinner on the diner, nothing could be finer than to have your ham and egg in Carolina. Then you hear the whistle blowing eight to the bar. Then you know that Tennessee's not very far. Shovel all the coal in, we got to keep her going. Chattanooga choo-choo. Don't push me home.
Hey, Freddie, doesn't that make train travel sound glorious? You know, and then at no point in that song did I hear anything about, anything exploding an hour outside of LaGuardia over the Atlantic Ocean. That is a song that makes me long for the days when that's how we all got around.
That was great, Tommy. We went out to the Spokane one time on the Amtrak, and that was a great train ride.
Yeah, but Amtrak has difficulty capturing the feeling of the old trains.
They have some, but I called you the day that you took Such's program, and Rookie was going to let me say hello to you. I wanted to congratulate you for getting our contract renewed for another year.
Oh, thank you, Fred. That's kind of you.
And I was out to the Blaine Anoka Airport today, seeing the B-24 and the B-17 out there.
Did you see B-1 Bob Dornan out there at all, B-1 Bob Dornan?
I didn't see
standing around that. Talking about Oliver Bolshevik Stone and the problems he's caused for America.
I didn't see him, but I saw one other guy I knew out there, and when we saw both of the planes take off, they were going to, I think, Green Bay from here. But
Green Bay? Why would they go there, I wonder?
Well, they were going there.
Possibly would possess them to visit that godforsaken hellhole.
I was amazed the number of people that were out there. This is Monday afternoon. There must have been 300-400 people standing around there looking at those airplanes at night.
Well, it's the Midwest. We don't got a lot going on here.
Well, we want
to... You know, a lot of people went to the goat show last Friday at the State Fair,
Yeah, at the State Fair?
Yeah, there's a goat show going on another couple of days, the goat show.
Yeah. You know. Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah. So, welcome to God's country.
Let's sing the Air Force song, Tom.
How about we surprise you, Mr. Undertaker Fred, and let you talk to the long-lost soul himself, Father Ricky Ricks.
Is he there? Oh, great. That's good. Yeah.
I haven't been lost. I know where I am.
Hey.
Fred.
Father Rick. Hey.
How you doing?
I'm a hippie now. I got a hip transplant at the end of March, But
Fred, that's about the 12th time you've used that line.
I'm not going to tell him what it is. I'm not going to go over that again. He's heard it. How are you out there? How are things in Colorado?
Not bad. Did you hear Tommy's dying?
Tommy's dying?
That's what he said.
And not just on this show.
We're all dying the moment we're conceived.
Either, huh? We can do the big requiem mass up at St. Paul there.
Are you going to come in for the last rites, Father Rick?
The last rites. We're rolling down the hill in a beer barrel.
I think we could put them over Minnehaha Falls.
When you're getting the last rites, things are all wrong. I'd like to write an old country song called that. When you're getting the last rites, things gotta be all wrong.
I was going to say...
I was laying on the side of the road.
I'm going to hold the Air Force song till another time, because now when you're on, we got to talk about how things are going out your way there, Father Rick.
Father Rick, how is everything in Colorado?
Oh, beautiful. 105,000 degrees, and we're all...
Oh, you're hot there, too.
And you got to wear that god-awful priest uniform.
Actually,
I shouldn't call it god-awful, should I?
I've just stopped pulling weeds in my collar. It's terrible, isn't it?
I was talking to a guy the other day who works in the Hawthorne neighborhood in Minneapolis.
I don't know him.
Apparently a pretty rugged place. Fred, you know anything about that area?
The Hawthorne area.
Yeah.
Goodness, I can't remember just where the Hawthorne area is.
Well, apparently it makes the Phillips neighborhood look like a diner.
Oh,
okay?
That's right.
Anyway, and he was a Lutheran minister.
Yeah.
And I asked him about raising his family there and his worries about, his own safety and that sort of thing. And he says, you wear the collar a lot. They leave you alone pretty much if they see you with the collar. That's a big thing, to keep that handy at all times. It's some of us have mace, some have the collar.
Got to watch out for the Catholics, that's all.
There's still a lot of trouble with the Catholics and Protestants. In Ireland.
We're always duking it out in bars and stuff.
Yeah. Do you ever come up to a Lutheran and say, it's a shame, you were on the right track there, and then you just blew it completely, and now you're going to burn in hell. Do you ever just say that?
I just say convert or else.
Convert or else.
Uh-huh.
Convert or else. I like that.
Oh, no.
Fred's a little nervous right now. They're going, let's see. I think I might be one of them there. Protestants.
Well, there are a lot of people that are going back. They're going to the Roman Catholic. Doesn't make any difference as long as you believe in the Lord, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Fred came over. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
You're a Catholic
you
now, Fred?
Lord, and you've asked for forgiveness for your sins. And you have that forgiveness, then you know you're on. You can go on your way rejoicing. I used to say at the State Fair,
Don't you get the feeling things are just going to be a little too happy in heaven? No. You know, when you think about it, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about, I don't like violent crime, but I wouldn't be happy if we eliminated all crime.
Well, you don't need to worry about that.
And I don't, you know, I don't want to, you know, have my leg mutilated by, you know, a Burlington Northern train. But I'd like to think that occasionally, no matter what, no matter how good life gets, I could still bump my head pulling it out from under the sink after fixing a pipe and feel a pretty good, you know, shock to the noggin there. And after an hour or so when that pain dissipated a bit, understanding a little bit more about pleasure. I would like to think that we'd always have that. I'm hoping even in heaven, sure, occasionally there's some guy who just cold cocks you.
Yeah, there's golf carts up there, and occasionally have a head-on collision or something.
Well, Jerry Ford is hitting golf balls up there. Jerry Ford isn't dead.
Oh,
he isn't dead yet.
What the heck are you talking about, Fred? Yeah, that's the last thing I want to do with this radio show is spread rumors and deliver false news reports.
No, he isn't. He isn't. You know what Betty said about Jerry once?
Let me guess. He was better when I was schnockered.
No, she said, you've come a long way, baby. And the whole thing
what?
Is we've got, oh, goodness, I lost.
You know, wouldn't you have loved to have been with Betty when she was just blotto?
Well,
you know, would it be fun just to be walking around the White House and there's Betty calling, hi, you Secret Service? Hi, where were you jackasses when they got Kennedy? You bastards ever screw up like that with my husband, I'll kick your Kennedy carcasses clear across the East Lawn, you hear me?
Well, I think Jerry, you know, he was, they claimed he didn't wear a football helmet when he played, but I guess he was all right. And,
Fred, do you write your stand-up material before you deliver it on my program?
Huh?
Nothing.
What do you guys think about our university president here getting a $50,000 increase the Board of Regents gave him?
Oh, he deserves.
Send him past the grassy knoll, I say.
He's up from about $200,000 to $250,000. And we wonder why we got problems.
You're right. Informed tonight, Tommy.
Thanks, Father. I'm at the shack. I'm always happy at the shack.
My day.
What's the temperature out there, Father?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Jan, what's the barometric pressure?
What's the temperature out there?
Fred wants to know the temperature. That's the last question we're going to allow him.
125.
Yeah. Father Ricky Ricks apparently hasn't been a good boy, and he's stuck in hell.
Oh, so. Well, I feel like it. I'll tell you.
I'm gonna sing the Air Force song tomorrow night.
All right, looking forward to that. We'll promote that tomorrow
during the valuable daytime. Yeah. And God bless you, Father Rick.
God bless
you all. The guys out there.
Help me rescue me.
God bless all of you.
God bless you.
All right,
Mother.
Goodbye, folks. That's Father Ricky Ricks and Undertaker Fred, ladies and gentlemen. Mishke here at the Shack, AM 1500 KSTP. Can we take a break?
We already took our...
our second one?
Yep.
I don't remember it.
That was when we put Fred on there about the noise thing.
No, that was another break. Have I done four ads tonight?
You sure did.
Well, what the hell time is it?
It is 9:56.
Holy smokes, how is it that late? Whoa, wait a minute here. Okay. Boy, it's late. I got a news program to do. Hang on, I got news. This out of Idaho. A parade planned Saturday by the white supremacist Aryan Nations is expected to cost the city $50,000, even if the march is canceled. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. A parade planned by the white supremacist Aryan Nation will cost $50,000 even if the march is canceled. Police Chief Dick Seitz said the city has already spent $26,000 on preparations, most of it to train law enforcement officers and crowd control. Members of the Jewish Defense League have said they may attend the parade, primarily just to judge the floats and see the fireworks. The JDL says they'll pretty much be bringing the fireworks, which are expected to be not unlike those we all saw used in the Persian Gulf War. Out of Washington, this story. A 29-pound airplane designed to fly the Atlantic by itself on less than 2 gallons of gas has University of Washington researchers looking for the record books. The early August flight would be the first unmanned airplane to cross the Atlantic. If this baby is successful, folks, we can all start sending 29-pound airplanes over the ocean with nothing on board. I don't know why we'd ever want to do that, but we'll be able to. The option will be there. If you want to send a 29-pound plane with nothing on board, you'll be able to send it. That way, if she gets blown out of the air a few miles east of LaGuardia over the Atlantic Ocean, no harm done, right? Let Pierre Salinger investigate it to his heart's content. No one will care. Hey, Lindbergh, nice flight, Charlie. Too bad. It isn't that impressive now that we can make it with a couple of bucks worth of gas and no pilot. You wouldn't be much needed these days, Lucky Lindy. Meanwhile, people sitting in France today having lunch, spotting the little planes out the window. What the heck's that, Dad? Looks like the Americans are screwing around again with air flight. Throw it with the others. Shouldn't we send it back, Pop? I ain't blowing 2 gallons of gas on that thing. Chuck it. Pretty soon they'll be giving planes away, folks. Inside cereal boxes. Real planes. Used to be a time when a flight through the sky meant something, you know. Remember that, Lucky Lindy? Huh? Remember when it was still a big deal to fly? 29-pound airplane flies the Atlantic by itself on 2 gallons of gas. That's what we're doing now. Air flight. It's just all kid stuff now. Toys. Remember the Chattanooga choo-choo? That was a way to get around. We're out of time. We're out of time. Chattanooga choo-choo's dead. Lindbergh's dead. I'm dying. And this show's Kaputsky. AM 1500 KSTP, good old St. Paul, big time Minneapolis. Checking out of here. I got a cold one with my name on it. And it's not a pale ale, I'll tell you that, because I can't find one in this town. What's going on? Sleep well, folks. Did I give the ID? I don't even remember. Have we taken all our breaks? Is this game over? Talk to you tomorrow night. Same place, same station.